This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
You are watching and listening to Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube and your favourite podcasts.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here. Now be sure to watch Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV by subscribing on YouTube and following them on social media for all the latest Leicester City news and information. Come on, you foxes!
Show
with Chris and Craig on Leicester Till I Die TV
on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter.
Right, Chris.
All right there. How are we doing? Welcome along. It's Leicester Till I Die TV. It's back. Proper football is back. How the devil are you all? Have you missed it? Or were you totally glued to your TV set watching Harry Kane equal Gary Lineker's record? Yeah, I wonder why he wanted to play against San Marino, eh? Oh, honestly, why? That was a separate show on Tuesday. You may or may not have seen it. Welcome along. We've got a bit of a different layout starts tonight, so hopefully it's going to work. Knowing my luck, it probably won't. This is where you can watch and you can listen to Leicester Till I Die TV.
Listen on your favourite podcast platform.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
Oh, yes. On this day in history, Leicester Till I Die, I was really hoping for something exciting. We're going to be doing this every show. See what happened on this day in Leicester City Football Club's history. And I thought, yeah, let's start with something really exciting, like a 4-3 or a... Well, here we go. This is what we've got today. Saturday the 19th of November, 1966. What were you doing in 1966? Craig, I think, was probably out on the pull at that. And that it'd been round for a bit by then, do you know what I mean? But apparently, a crowd of 25,003, and I can see you, Craig, and the three are very, very important, were at Filbert Street, and they saw goals from Leicester City strikers Mike Stringfellow and Derek Dugan. Yes, the old Duke used to play for Leicester, not just Wolves. And they clinched a 2-1 win over West Bromwich Albion and took the Foxes up to sixth in Division One. Now, if you're of a certain age, Division One, ask your parents. Because that used to be the Premier League in the good old days. This is the Premier League, the Premier League preview show, as we are going to be looking at Leicester City Chelsea. Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the main event of the evening. 60 minutes of football fun and banter with Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV. Are you ready? Ready? Let's get ready to rumble.
And an early good evening to Rennie. you were in early. How the devil are you, Rennie? 6:43. That's what I like to see. Were you queuing with your sleeping bag? I'm not sure you probably were. Rudy, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? Welcome along. Nice to have you with us again. And David, always a pleasure. Thanks a lot for joining us. Well, I don't know if you saw at lunchtime today on ITV, there was a new programme. It was called Loose Men. Now, after his debut on television, on internet vision the other weekend after the Arsenal game, I thought it must be a show about Craig. But no, International Men's Day is today. Of course, women would say that it's like every day, but we would argue, Craig, good evening, sir. How the devil are you?
Good evening, Chris. Good evening, everybody. I'm very well, thank you. Unlike... I think a lot of people at the moment have managed to avoid this horrific cold that's going around. How are you? Mm. You're looking pretty well.
I'm not too bad. I've calmed down. I had an argument with the DWP earlier, but that got me frustrations out. International Men's Day, and of course you are our very own International Man of Mystery.
Well, I'd like to think so, but obviously I can't talk about it.
You can't, of course, because it would no longer then be a mystery.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. It was interesting you just talking and trying to explain what the first division was. there. I went to see a guy called Tim Minchin this week.
Yes.
And he really good comedian, songwriter or whatever, but he was preempting a lot of his songs by having a glossary of terms just for the younger ones in the audience and sort of railing against anyone who was born this century. you just reminded me of that, having to explain what the first division was.
Yes, the first division. Oh, my God. And do you remember the Milk Cup?
I do remember. I remember it. Well, it's been through many phases, all
indeed
of these
it has. It has.
There's something called the Simod Cup as well.
There was, yes. Yeah. I think that might have been a forerunner of the Johnson Paint.
Yeah, I don't know. We probably go back to the Anglo-Italian and the Texaco Cup.
I remember both. I remember. In fact, I think, did we play once in the Anglo-Italian?
I think we did. I'm sure we did.
I believe we did once, you know, but all our yesterdays on BBC Radio 4, welcome along.
On this
along day
in the previous century,
yeah. Yes, I was so disappointed with that. I was looking to start off with a real bang, but it did lead us into this conversation. But
you know the motto of this show, though, Chris, set the bar low.
Exactly.
And
we do. regularly, but we always fail to come up to it, don't we? Hey, do you fancy a bit of a sing along?
Oh, go on then.
Here we go. You've got to join in with this one.
The wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round, round and round. The wheels on the bus go round and round, all through the town.
Hello.
I didn't hear you singing. I bet you muted us when you played the video, didn't you?
I did, because I don't think the world is ready for us yet.
I've wasted that now.
the modern day righteous brothers, eh?
Yeah, not sure about that one.
No, unrighteous probably.
Yeah.
Ankit, welcome along, sir. How the devil are you? Big Chelsea fan. Did a preview with him during the week, which was sort of, he pre-recorded his questions, I pre-recorded my answers, and he did a very good job of mashing them together. And then YouTube contacted me saying, this gentleman's using your videos. Do you want to block him?
It's like the old days of Stevie Wonder and Paul McCartney doing their videos on different sides of the Atlantic.
Yes. I'm not sure which one I am, but there we go.
Yeah, I'm saying nothing.
No. Can't wait for the game. This break's been far too long. It certainly has. As he says then, and yes, please do smash the likes. And Ollie's at the wheel. Yes, still. Although Brendan carries on to be linked, but he came out and he gave short shrift to the old press, didn't he, during the week?
He did. It's probably because he's waiting for a different club. It's probably... You know, it's disrespectful now. It'd be interesting if it was disrespectful if Man City piped up.
Yes, but I do get what he means is...
No, I think he's right, yeah.
Yeah, because we get it the other way because, you know, Brendan's in the job and he's being linked with everyone and the dog. I mean, and he will go. I think when he came down, I thought he'd be here 3-4 seasons max, get a name for himself, and he would move on. But I just think... That particular job, when he's turned down Newcastle, and we don't know if he was ever offered it, but he came out and he turned it down with the money and the options there. You know, I don't see what he could get. And yes, it's a big club, it's a big name, I get that. But it's probably one of the most toxic managers' jobs after Chelsea, isn't it?
Oh, I would think so. I think we're sort of, it seems like we're moving towards a... managerial system that they've got more on the continent, where you're there for a couple of years and then you move on, to be honest. Seems to be that way, that, you know, the same way, I mean, nobody expects Conte to be at Spurs beyond a couple of seasons. No. And I think everything in the game these days is short term. So, you know, managers don't get 5, 6, 7 years to pull a team together or a squad together. So why do it anymore? Why bother? Just bring them in for a couple of years, revamp it with a couple of players, because these teams have got the money to do it every year, every couple of years anyway. So I think it's just the way that things are going to go.
It works for Chelsea. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work for Watford, which, funnily enough, of course, Watford, one of Watford's biggest fans is obviously Fabrizio Romano.
Yeah.
His UK team is Watford. They're owned by Italians. He's Italian. And he said exactly the same point. In Italy, that's what they do. Yeah. You're there a couple of years, you move on. Roman seems to get it right. Watford don't. But, you know, when you look at where Claudio's been, he seems to be the epitome of that, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. And I think the same with players as well. If you're outside of that top six or top four or top whatever it is in whatever country, I think fans get used to the fact that they will have players for a couple of seasons and they will move on, and then they will be they'll be replaced by the next bright young thing. And I think we just have to get used to it, to be honest. You know, and we do want to grow, but obviously the Premier League is the hardest league in Europe, probably in the world, to make a consistent breakthrough. I think you'll get teams now and again, but you're going to get to a point where you're starting every season where there's 10, 12 teams who think they can finish in the top six. I just think that's the way it's going, and you've got to sort of be a little bit realistic that you can't have it every year.
And I think football, you know, like has already changed tremendously. I mean, we were having a laugh then about the Simod Cup and all those, but football itself has changed. And yeah. I was talking on another channel during the week, and it's I think there's so many millennials, if you like, that don't remember, for example, Man United fans think that they've got this God-given right to be a winning the league season in, mm-hmm. season out, or at least being top four. But they haven't got a God-given right because a lot of them, though, are too young. They don't remember the pre-Alex Ferguson years when Man United weren't that good, weren't finishing top four year in, year out, despite the fact that they're a big name. And, you know, it was all Liverpool, and they've gone 30 seasons before they've come back and won. You know, like they had a fantastic year when they did it because they won everything they could. But
I mean, don't forget, you know, again, in my lifetime, in your lifetime, I remember Manchester United being relegated by Man City. Yes. I mean, the famous goal by Dennis Law, who
went from
Manchester United to Manchester City. You know, that's rarely going to happen these days. And then scored a goal to send them down to the old second division, the Championship, as it were.
Yes, yeah. And the other thing that makes me laugh about this is that whilst Ollie and Brendan have both been at the same, you know, both been managing in the UK at the same time, so Brendan at Man United, Brendan, Freudian slip there, Brendan at Leicester, Ollie at Man United, Ollie has always finished above us.
Yeah.
In the league, and yet, but you know, then they say, "Well, you've won the FA Cup and you've won the, you know, the the Champions Cup of England." The Super Cup, as I like to call it. But hey, it's a strange old game, as somebody once said. But we're back with the Premier League, the aforementioned Premier League, this Saturday. King Power, oh God, it's an early kickoff. I hope they're going to set their alarms. You can watch it on BT Sport and you can listen to it on BBC Radio Leicester, lcfc.com/radio, which I've got to be totally honest with you, is probably the best. I love Jerry Taggart on that. And apparently is now also on Talk Sport as well. You're going to be there, young man.
I will be there indeed. Looking forward to getting back inside the stadium and hopefully a better performance than we put up the last time we were there.
And the last time we had an early kickoff.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a big week for the club. You know, you've got Chelsea now. You know, teams are starting to position themselves. We've seen Arsenal coming back. You know, Spurs are going to be better than they were now that Conte is there. We can't afford to keep dropping off the pace. And then obviously we have the huge game in midweek in Europe as well.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it would just be like Leicester to turn the season round and go, say, to the semis in the Europa League and just do everything the hard way. That's the Leicester way, isn't it?
Well, it'd be nice. Maybe we're going to have one of those seasons where we do it the other way and we start getting players back towards the end of the season rather than losing them.
Yes. I mean, if we, I'm going to jump ahead to this one at the moment. But this is how things sit at the moment. Chelsea in first with 26, and I mean, they're my pick to win the Premier League, and nothing so far I've seen has changed my mind on that. We're down there in 12th at 15th. We're getting the excuses week in, week out. You know, it's early days yet. It will come right, and you know, things will turn around. How long can we keep saying that? You know, this time last season we were in the top four. Here we're not even in the top 10. It's got to happen sooner rather than later, hasn't it?
Well, it has, but then you can add on to the end of that, or what are we going to sack Brendan? You know we all talk about this, about you know, not wanting him to go to Man U, this, that and the other. He's coming out saying, you know, I'm happy where it is. Do we get to the point where, you know, we're into the new year, we're into the end of January and we're out the FA Cup and we're in 14th spot and questions are being asked about him? I think sometimes managers have got some money in the bank, as it were, in terms of what they've achieved. Yes. And as hard as it is to watch, you know, when you've been used to success and being up there, I think a lot of teams, particularly teams like Leicester, in the past, it's been the same when Everton were up there regularly. Teams have a blip of a year. You know, maybe this is our blip of a year, but I think you've got to sort of stick with it as hard as it is.
Oh, yes. I mean, I've always said, I'm calling this our reality check year. You know, but you say, yeah, you say money in the bank. Ranieri is probably laughing at you with those words as they came out of your mouth, because you can't get much richer in the bank than the Premier League. And he went. I know what you mean, though, but I just think, yes, if we do have a bad season, you've got to look at the bigger picture, and you've got to look what Brendan is building.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, some managers, he's come in, and yes, he was quite lucky, because I think when you look back at, you know, the Claude Puel years, we can say, oh, it was boring, blah, blah. But he started to build the foundations, a bit like, I believe, Nigel with Claudio. You know, and, and I just think that you've got to look at what Brendan's trying to do. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time we've had a squad this big where we can integrate and swap round, and it might just be taking a little bit of time to sort of bed in.
Yeah, I mean, it could well be. I think it does take time, you know, and you become the victims of your own success, not just in terms of, you know, where we've finished in the league and then there's an expectation that comes with that, but also, you know, the better the club is, the better players we're bringing in, those players will start being picked off. Like we said earlier in the piece, you know, if you've got good players for two or three seasons, then they're going to get picked off. Yeah. And that's probably what's going to happen to us. And it is really only Europe that's going to keep those players here. I mean, we've even seen Schmeichel coming out apparently over the last few days and saying that he wants to play in the Champions League again before he finishes his career. Now, what's the chances of him doing that here at the moment? Yeah. Probably not, which means he's looking to move. So I think I think we're in for an interesting, and I use that word, sort of
advisedly.
Yes. 12 months, to be honest.
I think you're quite right. And I think there is a natural hierarchy to football. You know, you look at Leicester, and we'll never be classed as a top six club because that's Sky, and we don't, you know, have the pull worldwide that the other clubs do. You know, Arsenal could get relegated to the second tier and they'd still be called a top six club. That's how it works. But we are always going to have our players picked off. But then, you know, a Man United could lose their players to a Real Madrid or, but you know, there is that hierarchy, and I'm just wondering if we don't see Fofana sat on the bench or in the, you know, close to the team in the stands, is he in the changing room having a quick word with Abramovich?
I don't think so. I don't think that would be sensible a move for him at the moment. It's just, you know, it's we're getting towards January. You know, the window will be open again. You know, it will be lucky if he's played by then. So,
yeah.
But then you get a lot of just mischief makers, don't you? You get agents causing mischief. You get people put smoke screens up as well. Don't forget that. You know, it's probably easy to for clubs and agents to throw up other names. Meanwhile, they're going round the back door to get someone else who's never been into a conversation. Say, oh, no, Chelsea won't be after them because they're after Fofana or whatever. But meanwhile, they've got another target lined up. I don't think you can believe half the stuff that you... I mean, how many of the actual transfers that were rumoured to be happening in the summer window actually happened? Probably 10%, if that. Yeah. You know, so, good players are always going to have bigger clubs coming after them, but we just have to live with it.
We have probably three times as many papers to fill as we used to, more TV channels, more shows like this than other ones that are, you know, that are out there on YouTube. There's a lot of time to be filled with rumours, isn't there?
Exactly. I mean, you know, people come out of nowhere. I know we talked about Fabrizio and But, you know, I love the guy, but who is he? You know, where is he suddenly in all of these clubs and got all of these people giving him information? I'm not sure, but these reputations build, and the only way they maintain these reputations is by breaking more and more stories, you know. So, you know, there's certain people on the internet that you usually swear by, and unless it's coming from one of those, you let it wash by.
I don't know if you've seen, there is actually a video on YouTube for Fabrizio. It's like a day in his life, and it gives the a history of how he got to where he is with all his contacts. And it does actually make very, very, it's a very interesting, I think it's about 20, 25 minutes, but it's very interesting show. Good evening, Melina.
Hi, Melina.
May the best team win as long as it's at Leicester. I've got to be careful because, of course, I can't joke about Arsenal anymore because they're above us. But hope you are well and still
on. Can I just say while you're there, Melina, I've seen some of your stuff on social media. The paintings and things that you're doing at the moment are fantastic. So if anybody hasn't seen them, pop over to Melina's social media and take a look.
Melina, I think what Craig's trying to say there is, can he do some, what do they call it, lifestyle modelling? Real life modelling, you know.
I don't think the canvases are wide enough.
Well, all I'll say is you've seen the picture of yourself in the race show, and you know, just a sort of a couple of bunches of bananas and you're covered. And Melina, she says thank you very much, but contact him. He'll pose for you. He'll pose for you.
I'm thinking that picture may be putting people off coming and challenging me.
Indeed, it may be. It may be. Like Andrew says there, half the time it's agents stirring things up. Yes, it so is. And like I say, papers to fill. And you look at the Mercury, and to be honest with you, the Mercury used to, exactly, you know, it used to have, you could trust that the local guy knew somebody at the club and would be breaking stories. Now, it's just taking off news now or whatever it is. And, you click on a story and there's like one line that refers to the headline.
It's total clickbait these days, the Leicester Mercury is.
Yes. It's a shame. It's a shame, but it's how things are going. But 30 times we've played Chelsea in the Premier League. We've got six. They've got 15. Of course, we do have the old FA Cup that isn't counted in there, but 9 draws included as well. And last season, on us even, really. We beat them, although that was under Mr. Lampard, who, of course, could well be a replacement for us should Brendan decide that he wants to be a bus driver. And, of course, they got the win a couple of days after we took the FA Cup off them with the old Battle of the Bridge there. So it's going to be an interesting game.
I think it will be. You've only got to admire, really, what Tuchel's done at Chelsea since he's gone in there. I think Frank did a good job. I think he sort of lost his way a little bit because he put so much faith in the youth, and almost that was his ticket. That was his big red bus from Brexit or whatever, that he was going to promote youth, and then all of a sudden. Yeah. You know, they got the transfer embargo when he bought all these players in, and then he struggled. He struggled to manage big name players or bigger players. It's easier, I would say, to manage when you're promoting youth, you know, because they look up to you, they'll do whatever you say. But when you're bringing in players, and that's where he lost his way a little bit. But Tuchel's done a great job, to be fair. And I was unsure about Tuchel, I must admit, but I do like the guy. I like the way he talks about the game as well. So it'll be a tight game, I think.
I totally 100% agree with you there. And I've got to be totally honest, when he came in, it was a typical Chelsea move because they had done well under Frank with the transfer embargo. He'd got them to fourth. He'd got them in the Champions League. So for most clubs, he wouldn't have been a failure. But of course, Chelsea, as we discussed earlier, changed manager, won the Champions League. So you can't say that it was a bad decision by them. But I didn't know him when he came in, wasn't sure about him, but, you know, the way that he made the Chelsea players stay on the pitch when we got presented with the FA Cup and what have you, he went up a lot in my esteem on that. And I thought, you know, the win, Champions League win as well. And had maybe come in at the start of the season rather than halfway through, who knows, Chelsea might have, you know, been giving City a run for the money.
Yeah, and I think there will be. It's no surprise where they are at the minute. I think they've got a really good squad as well. It's not just an 11 or 13 players. It's a really good squad, deep squad. And, you know, he's not afraid to mix it up as well. And it's not been to the detriment of the team. I mean, you've got Aspilicueta, who can't seem to get a game at the moment. He comes in now and again, but then you get Chalobah coming out of nowhere and having a run of games and looking like he's been there for years as a top player. Obviously, he's been at the club for years. You get Alonso. Alonso started the season fantastically well. You know, came back in out of the cold, as it were. All of a sudden, he's put to one side. Chilwell's in, and then Chilwell starts playing really well.
Yes,
and banging goals in as well. Excuse me. So he's managed this way of rotating the team as well without upsetting anyone. And that's the sign of a really good manager. Pep does it, Klopp does it, and now Tuchel's doing it.
Yeah, no, he does indeed. Welcome back, Rennie. Got your message earlier. You obviously came in and then it was too cold in your sleeping bag waiting for the doors to open and you went. We're good. Hope you are too. And she says she has the Jamie Vardy books. Funnily enough, I don't know if anybody's got this yet, but I've just got my signed copy today. I don't know if you can see that. Young Millsy. Life in Football, Gary Mills. Forward by Gary Birtles. I mean, another ex-Leicester captain that came from Nottingham Forest, but we had him on the show lately. Really. I've only just got it today, so I haven't started it yet, but I will keep you updated. Mm. But it's well, if you need a Christmas present, it's good. Talking of Christmas presents, and I'm going off at a track I know here, but keep a lookout, because any time now we are going to be launching the Leicester Till I Die gift range.
Oh, excellent.
Yes, yeah. You know, not a blow-up pig or anything like that, but there's going to be T-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, pens, luggage labels. There's going to be a total mix, so all please, Leicester please, Till I Die related.
Please tell me there's no Leicester Till I Die thong that you're going to be modelling.
No, but there is a mankini. But you've got
that's
the body.
That's
got
to be for Brad. Brad needs to be wearing that.
Well, he has got a bit of the look of that guy, hasn't he? Yeah. Really, but looking at his injuries, Tuchel has been saying that it's unlikely that Lukaku will play, which is good. Same with Werner, which maybe isn't, because if he plays, he doesn't score. And Kovacic. It's easy for you to say. they've got a few injuries, but of course we've got Tillemans out. I suppose it had to happen, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he had that massive run, didn't he? I think he was the current holder, wasn't he, of current record for the most consecutive games played in the Premier League by an outfield player, which has sadly come to an end, and in seemingly innocuous circumstances as well. And that seems the story of us, doesn't it? You know, we had Barnes and James Justin, I think, were both seemingly innocuous things that kept them out for a while. But, I mean, this is a challenge for Brendan. I mean, what's he going to do without his quarterback, Chris? I mean,
well, it's I didn't say it. I thought I'd let you say it there.
Yeah, he's got some decisions to. He's got a big decision to make, and it'll be interesting to see how he goes. And I'm glad we're not doing a pick a team because I'm not sure what he's going to do.
Well, to be honest with you, I think the pick a teams are very hard this season because, you know, there are so many teams that are making so many changes, you know. Neil, good evening to you from Beyond the 90. Hi, great Leicester channel. Go and check it out. Just make sure on Sunday, please make sure that Ant's got his stepladder with him post-match. Andrew says here, I'm not buying everybody something, by the way, but if you want to sign up, because you can subscribe and become a member of Leicester Till I Die TV, if you become a gold member, there's bronze, silver and gold. Gold members will get you a discount on Leicester Till I Die merchandise. So check that out on our homepage. And Andrew says, are you doing a Leicester Till I Die Willy Warmer?
Talking of gold members.
Hey, boom, boom. Indeed, I like that one. Well, there's going to be two versions available, Andrew. For me, there's one that literally says LTID, and there's one for Craig that says LeicesterTillIDie.com.
Established 18.
Exactly. You can, you know, as the night goes on, you can get the whole Leicester history there. We should move on. Rennie, we're going to be coming, remind me of that, because we're going to be coming up to score predictions later. My mind's gone now. Andrew, you've sent me in places I don't want to go. I can just see you now. I don't know what's worse, a Mancini or a Willy Warmer.
Yeah. Shall we move on? I think we probably should, shouldn't we?
I think it's time. Let's look at the form. That's the right thing to be looking at. But let's look at the form going into this game. I mean, you know, it is the top for a reason. You know, most people's, including my own, prediction to win the league. You know, they've beaten Southampton, Brentford, but a bit like us, you know, they were under pressure. Norwich, well, what can you say? I mean, that was an England San Marino type performance, wasn't it?
I'm surprised Harry Kane wasn't playing for him.
Well, he probably thought if he could get a game, he would have done, get a few goals. Newcastle and Burnley got a draw. I was speaking to Dan, the Burnley man from Turf Moorhouse, and he said that if Leicester play the way that Burnley did, he could actually probably see us getting at least a point, if not all three.
The problem is, if we play the way Burnley play, we've got every chance of being relegated.
Yeah, there is that. That is very, very true. but I think Leicester's form, obviously, if we look at that, that's the, you know, it's just, it's not the worst form you've ever seen. You could say we've only lost one in five, but it's just the inconsistency.
I think the thing to take from that is there's probably only one good performance in there, and that was the Man United one. So even though we've got two draws, they were not great performances, and the Brentford win wasn't a great performance either, which is more worrying.
I mean, normally you would say, well, if you're playing badly and getting a result, then, you know, things are going to be all right. But we're not, you know, we shouldn't be getting drawn. And I think this is the thing that, you know, if we look back to, these were games that last season we would have been winning. Like you say, Crystal Palace, we only got two goals because they made two mistakes.
We're not creating enough, are we?
No.
That's an issue. You know, we were creating a lot and we were taking a lot last season, you know. Sometimes you have those, you know, obviously it wasn't a perfect season. It wasn't far off. You know, we were one game shy of almost having a perfect season. But you're not going to get that all the time. And we're just finding it a little bit tough at the minute. And here's how you come through it. I mean, in years gone by, I don't like harping on about, you know, years gone by, but a bad season years gone by would have been a relegation battle and probably a relegation on the back of it. So our bad seasons are now sort of mid-table, which is progress of some kind, I guess.
It is, but then, like you say, you know, success builds expectations.
It does.
And, you know, we've I feel in a way we've almost been like two seasons ahead of our you know, equal teams, if you like. I mean, you know, what we've achieved in the last 2 years, you've now got other teams, Arsenal coming back, you've got West Ham doing well, you know, you've even Brighton having a good season. Yeah. You know, teams like this, that last few seasons we wouldn't call them competitors, but, you know, for that fifth, sixth place, but suddenly there's a lot more in the mix for those places.
There is, and as I say, I think it's going to be like this going forward year on year now. I think teams, I've said it before, if you stick around in the Premier League long enough, you earn enough money to be going and picking off some really good players from around Europe. So any team who's not in European competition, you know, anyone in the Premier League can go and pick off their best players. So it's going to get stronger and stronger. And, you know, it's, I mean, you've got a couple at the bottom these days. So it makes it harder for anybody coming into the league to do really well. I mean, you tend to get one who does well. You know, we had Leeds last season, but others are struggling. And the danger is, the flip side of that, as the season, as the Premier League gets stronger and stronger, your bad season puts you in more danger of being dragged into something, because everyone around you is doing well. So it's something that needs to be arrested, this sort of slip. And as I say, it's more about performance for me. I think if you get the performance, the results will follow. If you're getting some results, but your performances are dipping, then your luck tends to run out.
Yes. Yeah. And the old season so far, and that is very, very small for me. I don't know how big it is for you. So I'm just going to try and get this up on another computer so I can read it out. Mm-hmm. The ones that I tend to look at on this is, and this is it, chances created per match. You know, we're at 1.09 and you've got Chelsea at 2.27.
Yeah, and you know what? I'd like somebody to actually explain what that chances created per match was, because I think in the Man United match alone, what we had, didn't we have something like 22 goal attempts or whatever? I mean, how many of those? I mean, we've only played 11 games, even if they were classed as a chance each, there's two per game. So I'm not sure how they work that out, to be honest.
It's one of those like predicted goal type things. But the other worrying one, which you know, I think we know how this one's worked out, clean sheets. You know,
I've heard about that. Yeah, as I say, I didn't want to keep harping onto the past, but clean sheet? No, can't remember. Can't remember them.
No. Maybe we need to sort of get the old pizzas out again. But first day of the season, all joking aside, Chelsea have had 7 out of 11. Yeah. I don't think you can necessarily blame Casper, because I think a goalkeeper can only be as good as the defenders in front of him. And we know we've had a lot of trouble with, you know, our defence this season, because you can't expect a goalkeeper to save everything all the time. They'll do what they can, but it is a problem. And it's just the injury crisis does seem to have got worse since we've got rid of, was it Dave Richardson or the medical guy?
Dave Rennie.
Dave Rennie, that's it, yeah. You know what? Because we went through, we won a Premier League on the strength of hardly any injuries, and then this season, you know, is that, you know, does that end up at Brendan's door because he made that decision and brought those people in?
I don't know. I mean, it's been interesting because people are saying, I've heard a few people, and I think Fofana came out this week and said it, and that he was surprised at the intensity of the training.
Yeah.
Now, because he said you play in France, and he said you virtually don't touch anyone. You know, it's almost like tag rugby. But he said here it's really intense. And he talked about, I think, his first day when Vardy two-footed him, I think, just to sort of welcome him to the club. And I'm not even sure that was during training. But he, whether it is that intensity, whether it is their methods, you know, we're supposed to be in a facility that's one of the best in Europe for looking after player welfare. Now, obviously, we've had these injury problems for the last few seasons before we've gone in there, but you do need to look at it. And certain teams have gone through similar things. I mean, Liverpool seem to have had a lot of muscle injuries as well over the last few seasons, particularly going through their midfielders. So I don't know. It's an interesting thing, and it's a closed shop, isn't it? You know, so no stories ever come out.
I mean, do you think that? I mean, normally if we're having a good season, and we have had a couple of good seasons, these sort of things tend to say, well, we still got fifth. You know, yeah, we know we've had a lot of injuries. You know, Christian Fuchs, bless him, was coming on with his, you know, Zimmer frame and getting a game. And when you're winning, these things aren't questioned. But when you're having an iffy season compared to what we've had, you do start to look at these things. You do seem to say, well, what's you know, Kolo Torre doing as our defensive coach? What's you know, what's happening with the facilities? And there are a lot of these questions popping up all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's like anything, is it's bound to be when things go wrong, fingers are pointed, you know. And when things are going well, everyone's a star. But you're quite right in saying that the year we won the league. Never get tired of saying that, do you?
No. I never get tired of looking over my shoulder either.
We did. We kept virtually a very solid 11. And probably, I don't know how many players we actually used during the season. But it was. We managed to avoid injuries and everybody just knew what they were doing. So it does play a part in the consistency of a team, injuries and form or whatever, and not moving it around too much. I think the biggest issue is, aside from injuries, I don't think Brendan's ever worked out what his best team is or his best formation. And I don't think that really helps either.
No. I mean, I remember during the, like you say, let's not get fed up with saying it, the championship winning season, we had the freezer, the crypto cryo freeze thing, whatever it was. I know Boris Johnson tried to do similar during the election and hide in a big freezer. I don't think it's worked out quite as well for him. No. But you know, these sort of, if something's working, why aren't we kind of still doing it? I just don't, like you say though, things will be pointed at when we are not doing so well.
Yeah.
And what we'll do is we're going to have a look at some of the players when we come back, and we'll bring them in a few comments, and we'll be doing that straight after this.
It's the Premier League Preview Show with Chris and Craig on Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube, Facebook and Twitter.
Well, don't you feel down with the kids when you see that one, Craig? But let's just try and bring some comments up here. We'll go past the Willy Warmer comments. Neil, we'll leave your comment out as well. Although it is quite funny, but I can't put that up. Rennie, do you want Jamie Vardy or Daka in the starting 11? I've got to say I want Jamie, because I think he does well against these teams. Scored more goals against the top six than any other player.
Yeah, I think I can understand people sort of clamouring for Daka, but he's going to be one of those that's going to have to be sort of phased in over time. I think, you know, you can't expect him to be the answer to everything. He's got to learn what the Premier League's all about. You know, he's had a couple of great games and then he's had a couple of quiet games. So, but that, you expect that. So
yeah,
for me, I don't think you can look beyond Jamie.
No. I want to let you answer this first of all, and then I'll come in with mine. But Rene's question, do you want Jesse, Brazilian Lingard, or keep James Maddison?
I don't see why you would get rid of Maddison if you were bringing Jesse in. I know you could make an argument, say they're better or similar players who play in a similar position, but there's nothing wrong with improving the squad and competition for places. I mean, on their form, let's put it this way. On last year's form, you would say Jesse Lingard all day long, probably, based on what Maddison did. The year before, Jesse couldn't get a game at Man United and Maddison was playing great. So form comes and goes. I think Maddison will come back. What Maddison needs to do is obviously realise now how far down the pecking order he is in terms of the World Cup that's coming up at the end of next year. So he, if he wants to be part of that squad, he's really got to start turning some performances up on a regular basis, because, you know, before it was the, you know, some players, same with Harvey Barnes, you know, they were there, they were on the periphery, and now people are coming over them as if they're stuck in the inside lane on the motorway. You know, Emil Smith Rowe now has gone past him as well. You can't afford to be putting in run-of-the-mill performances and one decent performance every three or four, you know, so he's got to step up. So long-winded answer, and not really giving an answer either. So I would take Jesse, definitely, but not...
Sorry, Brad.
We have to lose Madison, yeah.
I've got to say, I'm not sure on that one if you're any wiser, any. But for me, I'll keep mine a bit more straightforward. I'm sorry, I would keep Madison every day of the week. For me, yeah, I mean, he's going through a good period, is Lingard, but we all know that won't last. You know, yes, he came on and he scored for England. Oh yes, you know. We were probably playing Andorra, Angola, Madagascar, Faroes, and we were playing one of those teams possibly. Yeah, he played well. He's still living off the back, I do think, of his West Ham loan. Mm. But I don't think he's consistent. That's the thing with him. He's not a consistent player. And, you know, with Leicester, like you say, with Barnes, is maybe taking a step back. But... you know, they've had their injuries, and that's the thing. And when they're not coming back into a team that's full of confidence. So, no, I mean, for me, Madison, I've got to be honest with you. Now, here's, ladies and gentlemen, where it is going to get interesting, because we are going to pick, or well, I'm not going to pick, my wise old owl is going to pick our combined 11. Now, who will get in there? Will it be full of Leicester players? Will it be not full of Leicester players? or is it going to be a nice split down the middle? Go. Let's see what Craig has. Let me get rid of that, and then we'll see what Craig has gone for.
So we've only done this once before, because recently we've been playing teams where I've said there's only going to be one or two of the opposition getting in. I think we did it for we said that for Leeds, there was no point. Brentford, no point. There's a lot of point to this one, because this is tough, and you know that there's only a few, there's two or three positions here, particularly a couple where it could have gone either way. And yes. I think I've probably tried to balance it up a little bit, but it'll be interesting because, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people who are going to disagree with my choices. But then that's why the comments box is there. So it'll be interesting to see what people say.
It is. And of course, we've got to say that this is all opinions, and it is only opinions only. So we will bring some opinions up at the end of it. But first of all, your goalkeeper.
Well, what we've also got to say is we're basing this on everyone being fit. So this is
right.
This is fit squads. This isn't who's likely to play. So this is if everyone's fit and playing at their best, what would be the combined 11? So
right. So even players that are injured, we are taking it the fact that if they were fit. Yep, no, that is good. I am happy with that. It makes sense. So who were you going for a 4-3-1-2 there?
Yeah, it was the closest to the to what I wanted, which was a 4-1-3-2. So we can work with this. We can work with what we've got here.
Yeah.
So goalkeeper, again, one that could have gone either way, to be honest. I've been really impressed with Mendy. I think he's very in a league where I don't think there's many imposing goalkeepers anymore. These are probably two of the most imposing, I think, Mendy and Schmeichel, in different ways. But I think I've just tipped it to Mendy. If it was like, who would I want now? I think Schmeichel has been a fantastic servant for us. But right of this moment, I think I would take Mendy.
No, I've got to be honest with you. I totally agree. I think he you can just, I know it's, we've said it's the defence as well, but on the things the way they are now, yes, I can't argue with that. Let's just see if anybody yet has commented on the old goalkeepers. Andrew says he can't see Maddison ever playing again. Rennie's gone for Casper. Having said that, she's gone for 11 Leicester players, so I don't think she's going for the, combined 11. I think they've just said, yep, that's the best 11. I'm a Leicester fan. That's what's going to happen. Right. Do you want to go left and get it out of the way, or shall we start on the right?
No, let's go left. Let's do that.
This is going to be interesting.
There's so many to choose from, really. I think Alonso's a great player. Not so much a great person, for those who know his history. But I think he's a really good player. Thomas is obviously one for the future, hopefully. Castagna's been brilliant over there. And then we've got James Justin. And that James Justin, for me, it's sort of between James Justin and Chilwell. And I know, if I put Chilwell in there, it's really going to cause some problems for you. But
Rennie's agreed with you there.
Yeah, I it's difficult because of, he does have defensive frailties. We know that, I think, Chilwell. But I'm so close to putting James Justin in, but we've seen James Justin for the best part of a season and a bit, and I think he will go on. If he comes back the player that he was when he left us, he's going to be a superstar. So his time will come, but for now, I think I'm going to have to go with Chilwell.
I mean, he's back in England, England squad again. He was out of that for a while. I know, I still can't justify the hate that he got when he was at Leicester. He was at Leicester, he was England's number one left back. And you don't get that by being the bad player that a lot of fans did it. But Leicester fans, or a section of Leicester fans, I should say, do seem to like to have a scapegoat each season. And I think it was Chilwell. And you can't blame him wanting to leave, and wanting to better himself. We've got to, we all sit here and we all moan and say, oh, he's been going here and why is he leaving and going there? Mm-hmm. We do it with jobs.
Yeah.
It is. But no, yeah. I agree. At the moment, Chilwell, he's playing well at the moment. You can't.
He is, and he's got a goal threat in him as well. He's probably he's probably scored more than Maddison this season, I would have thought.
No, indeed, and he scored some good goals for us. Let's not forget, and he can. Well, he nearly got one in the FA Cup final. Of course.
Nearly, not quite. What a shame.
No cigar there, Ben. No cigar. But no, I agree with you. I would go for Chilwell as well. Right back in the dressing room.
Again, it's so tough. So tough. Mm. Because, I really like Reece James. I think he's a fantastic right back. He'd be in there for England for me. But having said that, you've got Trent Alexander-Arnold. For those who don't know much about football, you've got Kyle Walker. Can't stick Kyle Walker if nobody had worked that one out. I think Reece James is a great player. And again, he's got a goal threat. And this is worrying for tomorrow, to be honest, isn't it? The goal threat that comes from all over the place. But to be fair, a little bit, I have tried to balance this up a little bit. And at the best of his game, when he's at the top of his game, Pereira is still a fantastic player. So I'm just going to nudge Ricardo ahead of Reece James.
Right. Let's have a look if I think he actually comes under Ricardo. Yes, he does. There we go. So Leicester have got one in. I must admit, it's one more than I thought we'd get in the defence at the moment. So Rene said there, Reece or Ricardo. Well, that was your tough decision there.
Yeah,
and it could again if she'd gone for Reece James, there's no way I would have argued with that.
Yeah,
but again, this is why Chelsea are top of the table. You can't look. You know, I did a show the other day, and it was compared. I don't know if I told you whether we've spoken since, but it was the current West Ham United squad comparing it to the Leicester squad of 15-16 when we won the Premier League, and could West Ham do it because they're the most likely, or even get into the top four. It was really hard to compare players that have played 11 games to a team that had played 38 and won the Premier League. Yeah. I think it was something like 9-2 in favour of Leicester, and everybody kind of accused me of being biased, but I'm saying, well, you know, we won it. We won the damn thing, and Chelsea are top for a reason. And it's because they have got these good players. Centre backs, whichever one you want to go for first, I'm easy.
Well, let's go right side. So next to Ricardo.
Yeah.
Again, this is based on if everybody's playing at the top of the game.
Yeah.
Plus, I've taken other things into consideration. You know, their age and bits and pieces like that.
Yeah.
But so for me, Fofana is going to go in there.
I can't argue with that at all. And I don't think the Chelsea chairman would argue with you at all there. I think if he had his way, he would have him in there as well. Agree, totally agree. Rennie's gone, Johnny or Silva. Dare I guess at the last one?
Well, go on then.
I'm just going to
whether
it's a certain Dane at all.
I'm sitting here changing my mind.
Are you?
Yeah. So I'd love you to have a guess.
Well, I'm thinking you're going for Vestergaard.
Yeah, and I think you're just being facetious there, Chris.
Well, maybe. Yeah, it is when he's at the top of his game, and I'm sure he's had one game where he's been top.
Yeah. I'm really torn between two players here, and neither of them play for us.
Ah, right.
So on one hand, you've got Silva,
yeah,
who you know is a classy player, great experience, talks. You know, marshals his team really well.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you've got who I think is a great player is Rudiger. And
yeah,
what I like about Rudiger is the same sort of thing that I like about Fofana. His physicality. You know, he's so aggressive when he's going to try and win the ball. He's a bit of a, you know, he's not a likable character, is he, Rudiger? I think that's safe to say. But he's a winner, and he wants to get the better of whoever he's playing against. And because of that, I'm just going to nudge him in ahead of Silva. And I have literally sort of just changed my mind on that.
I thought you were going to go for Silva, I'm not going to lie. But you're not going to go for Amati then, as Rennie said.
No, I'm no Amati, no Johnny, no Soyuncu. He's no slouch either, Rudiger. I think he's got a bit of a pace. But because he's aggressive, he sort of manhandles his players out of the way before the ball even gets. The way that Maguire does it, when Maguire's on his best game, and he did it so often for Leicester, he would be manhandling his man out of the way while the ball was in the air and the referee wasn't looking. He was very clever at doing it. And Rudiger's a similar player.
I mean, I've got to say, Craig, I'm damn impressed that you got two Leicester players in there at the moment.
It was very close with Pereira, I must admit.
Well, I know, and like I say, I could have understood if it had gone that way. Now, again, I have a feeling because we're talking centre,
we're talking defensive midfielder
yeah. here. It's going to be between two, isn't it? And this, to me, is probably going to be your hardest decision of this. I'm guessing we're talking. Mr. Kante versus Mr. Ndidi.
No, it's Kante and Chowdhury.
Or let's just stick Chowdhury in then. Should go for it.
Yeah, it is Kante and Ndidi. And yes. Jesus, I mean, you talk about, you know, I had this conversation with someone at work today, and you talk about the quality as of one player, and then you start saying, yes, but what about this? Yeah. What about the other? I think if we had both players at the peak of their game, I think Kante would walk it because I think he was just phenomenal. And what I like about Kante, people talk about Kante just being a defensive midfielder, but I think it's often overlooked that when he gets the ball and sees a space to run into, he's a fantastic ball carrier as well. For those who can remember it, the when we won the league, the game up at Man City, the Mahrez goal was started by Kante seeing a gap, winning the ball, seeing a gap, and charging into it before giving it to Mahrez. And he was fantastic at that. And he still does that to a certain extent. With Wilf, I think you have a bit more power. Probably you've got a bit more of an aerial threat as well. So defensively, he offers more. From sort of free kicks, corners, or whatever. I'm going to go with Ndidi, and I'm going to base that now on the fact that he's 24 and he's sort of coming into his prime. Kante is, I think, 29, 30, and just sort of maybe his best days are behind him a little bit. But that is probably the closest decision of the whole lot as to which way to go. Ask me again tomorrow and I'd probably change my mind.
I was very, listening to you intently there, very interested in that decision because I was asked the same question on a show earlier in the week. And the funny thing was I said exactly the same as you. If we're comparing then, for Kante, sorry, now for sort of what Kante was like then when he was at his peak. Well, he's not past his peak, no, but not. You know, and indeed, I would have to go for Kante as well. But I actually did go down on the side of Ndidi purely because he has got those few years on Kante and could you know, or he's obviously going to get better. You know, I think players do. So that was very, very interesting. And you could have sort of read my script and read it back out, to be honest with
it's
you.
It's worrying that we're agreeing, Chris.
I know. This is it. It's like when we do the Tuesday show, the X on the Pitch with Julian Watts, we can't find anything we disagree with. We're just agreeing all the time. We need to start arguing more.
Yeah.
We have still got five plays to go, so we will see. I've got my Perez card ready to play at some point, so I'm sure you have as well. On the left of the two centre midfielders,
you know what? I'm gonna leave this one till last because this is probably the most contentious one of all of them.
Oh, right, okay. Excuse me, it is Perez then, folks. Right, on the right side of midfield.
I mean, it could be either of these two, but Tielemans, you know, Tielemans has to be in any team, I think. He's just a class act, you know, and it's going to be the first time that we've had to play without him in a competitive Premier League game. Yeah. So it's going to be really interesting tomorrow to see how we cope without him, but two, who actually steps up?
That will be the good question. I still don't know why this comes up as Akib Tielemans.
Maybe that's his full name. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it was always Yuri before, but now then, I nipped out early and nipped down to my local bookies and had a fiver on this one being Perez here. So you better not let me down.
So which one? You want me to do the other midfield now, or do you want me to leave that till the end?
I thought you were leaving it till the end. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that one to the end. So are we going... Yes, yeah. So we're going attacking mid here, yeah?
Attacking mid, yes. Hi, Terry. Thanks for listening in.
Right. Yeah, so again, we've got a few here. We've obviously got Perez, the front runner.
Perez.
We've got Madison. We've got Barnes, who I could move inside. We've got Ziyech. We've got Pulisic, who I think is a fantastic player when he's fit. He's not fit enough. But in there, I'm gonna go for Mason Mount in there.
I was just about to say, I was thinking, is the one you hadn't mentioned there, Loftus-Cheek? Did he kind of get a thought?
No,
at all?
To be honest, no. There's too many, and obviously, I don't really want to give too much away about who may be filling that other gap.
No.
But no, I mean, I really like Mason Mount. I don't think he started the season particularly strongly. I think he's come on a little bit more now.
Yeah.
I think he's starting to get a bit of stick from England fans as well, who think that he's had some dodgy performances for England. And I think that's a fair point. What I like about him, in the same way that I really like, Gallagher over at Palace, who obviously is a Chelsea player as well. So
yes,
he's probably going to come back next season into the Chelsea team, is their energy. And
yeah,
I think if you look at Leicester's midfield, if there's one thing we lack, it's that energising player, someone who is a busybody all on the go. You know, going back to the likes of Muzzy, even going back a few years, who was that similar player who also came out of Chelsea. That's what I like about Mason Mount.
No, I agree. I've already filled it in for you there because you didn't put him in midfield. I presume you go for him. I am shoehorning him in. I've got to keep Brad's end up here, if you pardon the expression. I take it it's not going to be Perez.
It's not, but I hope you've got some Perez merchandise in amongst all the stuff that you're bringing out.
I you're talking to the Willy Warmers earlier. Anyway, who are we having on the left of the front two?
We should have some bench warmers rather than Willy Warmers.
Hey, bum bum. Are you on form tonight, Craig? I like it.
Let's slip in a little Jamie Vardy there.
Little slipping on his Charlie and his vodka.
I think we could talk about these together because the other one's going to be Lukaku up front. So for me, I mean, you've almost got an ideal partnership there. You've got one who wants to look in behind, running behind, and then you've got Lukaku who likes coming into feet, playing it out, and then going in behind as well. So I think the two of them would work fantastically well together and give any opposition centre-halves a really tough time. Again, the physicality in that. Wait for it, Renee. Wait for it. I think the two of them, non-stop running, physicality, I think they would be a handful for anybody, to be honest. And I think they would work well as a pair.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. No, totally. I mean, it's amazing that Jamie Vardy, what is he now? Is he 34 or?
I think he's just a couple of years younger than you, Chris, I think.
he's 19 then, is he? I'm just looking here and typical, where do we go? Typical, they haven't got his age on the particular page I'm looking at. But, you know, but even now, and we know he's around there, I'm sure somebody will tell us his exact age, but, and he's still getting into these teams and not just our teams, he's being picked for the, you know, other best teams and everything. And it's amazing at his age, bless him, that he is still doing that.
I think the thing is, and obviously he does have a dip in certain games where he doesn't sort of live up to the expectation that he's bought, but I think everybody knows what a on top of his game Jamie Vardy can bring, and I'm not sure there's anyone else like him in the league because he plays on that edge so well, and his finishing has improved. I think often he's, you know, when he's not on the top of his game, he can snatch at things, which is disappointing. And you think another day he would have finished it. But when he is on his game and he's really confident, he's a fantastic finisher as well, off both sides. And he, I mean, he'll go down into folklore at Leicester, and quite rightly so.
I can tell you his height, and I can tell you his weight, but they don't, even on the LCFC page, they do not have Jamie Vardy's. Right, I'm going to go on to Wikipedia, because at the end of the day...
I mean, if you just put into Google how old is Jamie Vardy, I would imagine it's going to come up.
I would have thought it would have been on the Leicester website, wouldn't you?
He's probably told him not to put it.
34. Right. Well, thank you. Rennie, you were close with 35, but no cigar.
34, basically, the same number of minutes it took Chris to find it.
Yeah, like you knew.
If you put the three options up, I would have gone for 34. I would have stuck my little paddle up. And
not on this show, you won't, mate. you keep your little paddle down.
Hopefully, in your merchandise, you've got the Leicester City A, B, and C paddles that I will let you have for a small fee.
I ran the guy that's doing it for me on Thursday. Mm-hmm. He wasn't available. He ran me back today. I missed his call, but I have got a list there of different things that I am going to try and get sorted out. I will add paddles to it just for you.
Just bear with me.
Luca, good evening. Thanks for joining us. It's not a bad team, that at all. I must admit. Yeah. I must admit, I will say that. Hang on, wait, let me just. This has to have this. If you're going to do what I think you're going to do, let me give you the stage, sir.
Thank you. Yeah. So, for anybody who hasn't seen our quizzes, firstly, why not? And secondly, we're looking for new challenges. We have the race, as it's called, based on no. Existing quiz shows whatsoever, but then Chris will obviously ask questions, and then there are three possible answers, and I manufactured these lovely little A, B, and C paddles to show. All they need now is a little Leicester City logo in the corner, and they would be available for you in Chris's shop, and I shall take a small fee, but thank you. Back to you in the studio.
What can I say, sir? What can I say? In fact, I tell you what, I'm going to ask you a question at the end then so you can actually use them. you certainly put me off now. So now you've shown your paddles to the world. And I can just say I am impressed with your paddles, sir. And I was from the word go that you the effort that you've put in compared to Dan's red coloured in A, B, and C.
Indeed.
I think you'd psyched him out straight away there. You'd put him off
That was my plan. And obviously, because he's from Burnley, I knew he'd be struggling by the time he got to the third letter in the alphabet. So, I tried to psych him out. So,
Good evening. He's got a soft spot for your paddle, Craig.
Not many.
Right. So we've still got a little hole to fill. What is the left centre midfield?
Yeah. And this may be a bit of a surprise to a few people, but it's a player that I've been really impressed with this year. I think he's been at Chelsea two or three seasons now, and he's not really had a consistent run of games. But under Tuchel, he's getting a consistent run of games. I think he's potentially injured for tomorrow, so we won't have to come up against him. But it's the guy that you struggled to mention earlier. It's Kovacic. now, for me, he's been really impressive this season. He He's sort of a box to box. He doesn't get forward too much, but he's already scored, I think, two or three goals this season. But what he has got an eye for is a killer pass. He's very much a, I would say, almost their version of Tielemans. Not as good as Tielemans, obviously, but
no,
he's got that aggression to his game. He can break the play up, but he takes it forward as well. As I say, I think he's quite high up on the assist board this season, but he has scored a couple of himself, and I've been really impressed with him. Of all the players that they've got there at Chelsea this season, he seems to be one that Tuchel is trusting quite a lot in that midfield now. And yeah. I think he's having a great season, and he completes the lineup for me.
I must admit, looking at that, I mean, we've got one, two, three, four. We've got five Leicester players in there, which I don't think is bad at all. But let's be honest with you, if that team was to turn up on the pitch, you'd give them the win, whatever, wouldn't you? It's a good looking side.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's a strong side, that is, isn't it? And unfortunately, it's not going to be our side. But yeah, I think, you know, there are one or two contentious ones, and they could have gone either way.
Of course, I
don't think necessarily that would have got any stronger with by adding any more Leicester players, but there's definitely two or three that could have gone to Chelsea and you couldn't really have argued, which shows you what a fantastic squad they've got at the moment.
It is, and shows why they are where they are in the league.
I mean, when you think, I haven't even mentioned Havertz, who I think is having a much better season this season as well, who could have easily taken that 10 spot where Mount is as well. So, yeah. I mean, you've got Werner, you've got Ziyech, you've got Pulisic, you've got Havertz, you've got Jorginho, who's having a decent season. You've got Aspilicueta, who's not in there, Alonso, Silva. I mean, when you think of the depth of that squad, it's amazing. And I think we're really up against it tomorrow, particularly without Tielemans. And I think Chelsea will see it through, and they will be there. Whether they'll get pipped, I don't know, but I think they'll take the fight right to the end of the season.
Yeah. And I've got to say, I don't know who this guy is that's commented here, but he said there, no Perez. I think it's disgusting. Yeah. I think we should do a Sky. We should terminate your contract. Have you signed the contract yet? You know,
not freelance.
Right. Now, Ren has been asking about this all show, so let's bring it in now, and we will have a look straight after this at our predictions for the game.
All right, Chris, this is Neil Razor and Braddock here. No, you're huge. A Leicester City fan. You run the website, Facebook, the Twitter site, Leicester Till I Die. That's what you are, Chris. Oh, Leicester Till I Die. I'm Leicester Till I Die. Anyway, Chris, well done for doing all the hard work for Leicester City. All the best, son. Neil Razor and Braddock. Aye, Chrissy. Aye.
Never gets old.
Unlike us.
Unlike us. And can I just say that he is the gentleman on whom I base my physique on. So I think I'm getting very close to it. Well, we're going to have... these are the scores that we do on LeicesterTillIDie.com. You can go on there and you can see the little league that we have with myself and the ex-players. I'm not doing very well in that. I'm not doing very well in predictions and anything at all this season. I've gone for a 2-2. Ian Marshall's a lot braver than me. He hasn't got the affiliation maybe to Leicester that I have, and he will vote against it. He's gone 2-0 Chelsea. Steve Walsh, he'll never vote against Leicester. He's gone 2-1 to City. Jerry Taggart and Ian Wilson have both agreed with myself and gone 2-2, or I've agreed with them, whichever way you want to look at it. And Steve Linex is agreeing with Ian Marshall, and he's gone 2-0 Chelsea as well. But what we're going to do here, Craig, is I'm going to say three scores here. We're going to go A, which will be a home win, mm-hmm. B, which will be a draw, and C, which will be an away win. A, B, I haven't got the timer, so I can't tell you, unfortunately.
I don't need it. I am surprised shocked there that nobody's gone for us to have a clean sheet. But
I know. Who knew? Yeah. Who knew that that would ever happen?
Yeah. Well, drum roll. I am going to go.
You're going to go for a draw as well. Well,
I am. I've got a little feeling this is going to be. I'm going to go for a 1-1. I think, as Dan mentioned, you know, the way Burnley played against them, I think they're fallible. I don't necessarily. I can't see any team really turning them over this season, you know, and winning by 2 or 3. I think they're going to be in any game, but you know, they have been. You know, without Lukaku, they have shown that you know, goals can be a little bit harder to come by. And even Lukaku was going through a bit of a barren patch just before he got injured. So I think it could be tight. And I'm thinking, I'm hoping that we can come away with a very valuable and well-earned point.
Yeah. René covering us, covering himself there. René, are you a male or female, René? You've got to let me know. I don't want to change your sex. Saying 2-1 Leicester or a draw. So, yeah, can't go for a Chelsea win either. I mean, they've only lost one this season, Chelsea. But they've only let 4 goals in.
I know.
And they've scored 27.
Yeah. Yeah. It's ridiculous, isn't it, really? I mean, he's got that balance. You know, you talk about how it's difficult to get the balance. Some teams will go all out attack, but they'll let in, you know, like Leeds did last season, and Villa probably to a certain extent as well. You know, they weren't tight at the back, but they would try and score more. But he seems to have managed to find the blend of keeping them out at the back. You know, they always say, don't they, the best teams are built on a tight defence. And same with us when we won the league. I think that's probably about 6 or 7 times we've managed to mention that we've actually won the league. But I think,
never enough.
No, we had a really tight defence as well in that season. I think we had that run of 4 consecutive 1-0 victories. So,
yes,
I think Tuchel's got that right. He's got that defence pretty sound, and then he's got the talent in front to go and score goals. So I think a 1-1 will be a great result.
And when you were just looking here, you know, the one team that beat them was Man City, and it kind of, you know, most people would say that's the 1 and 2 this season. So, yeah, you know, it is looking very scary. Unfortunately, I don't think the point would be great for them. I'd probably jump at the point now, but I don't think it would do us an awful lot of good in the great scheme of things moving forward. And this is the difference, because I think this time last season we would have been talking about possibly a Leicester win or a Leicester going for it, but kind of obviously with the season we're having, we kind of sort of let's take a point, you know.
But we know, as I say, you know, we beat them in the FA Cup. There's another nod to a trophy that we've won, if there's any Spurs fans watching. You know,
have you had a Red Bull, Craig?
So, you know, we know we can beat them. But we've got to be on the top of our game. And I think, sadly, I think we're going to have to be on the top of our game just to get a point tomorrow.
Yes, I think you could be right. But then this is Leicester City.
And it's football, and that's why we love it.
It is. It could be anything. Craig, thank you so much, young man.
You're welcome.
Do you want to just mention before you go again, what did we win in 2015-16?
I think we won the Premier League, amazingly, and then we won the FA Cup last season. And don't forget the Community Shield that we also... The English Super Cup.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. We do not use the CS phrase on this group or these shows at all. So the English Super Cup, quite right, sir. And you are looking for contestants to take you on in the race, which is a straight shootout quiz between yourself and opposition fans. And, of course, we also have the Big Fat Football Quiz, named after myself, when you set the questions. We've got a couple, hopefully, coming up on that. So,
we have, yes, yeah. You know. Yeah. Yes, but, yeah, if anybody wants to come up, and I know Dan and Brad are both game for a rematch to avenge their defeats. But yeah, if anybody wants to come and try, then that's fine. And it's only a matter of time before I'm knocked off my perch, I'm sure.
I just think it's like, you know, I can see Brandon Angan, like, best of three, and then be best of five, you know. Best of 13, come on, let's carry this on. It's 12-1, but we'll have best of 13.
next goal the winner, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Craig, thank you very much, young man. And we will see you possibly twice next week, because we've got Europe next week.
Indeed. Yeah.
We will see you then. Take care and have a good weekend. And enjoy the match. Cheers now.
Thanks, everyone. Cheers, Chris. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks to Craig there, my wise old owl. He knows his stuff. And I think he picked a very, very, very good combined 11. I'm not going to lie. So what is coming up next? This is... It is tomorrow. Where are we? I've got my flu jab in the morning. I'm glad I've just reminded myself of that. About 3 o'clock, if I'm back in time to watch the match, we will have the post-match show with Brad. So 3 o'clock tomorrow, we will be back for that. And if you missed the show today, well, don't worry. This is where you can catch up on Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube or on your podcast, your favourite podcast platform. And that includes Apple, Spotify, Google, Podcast Addict, Anchor, to name but a few, or via your smart speaker. Just asked it to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die. Thanks to watching and everybody who watched, and thanks to everybody who listened on the podcast. And a special thank you to Rene. Thanks for joining in, mate. Some good questions in there for us. Ankit for joining us. Melina, Terry, everybody that joined in, thanks very much. It always, always helps. Words and pictures, thanks very much as well. It's on BT Sport tomorrow at 12:30 kickoff. Oh, another early start. Let's hope they've got their alarm clocks with them this weekend, eh? We hope. But thanks everybody for watching, thanks everybody for listening, and thanks to everybody that joined in. We'll see you tomorrow at 3 o'clock for the post-match show. Have a good one. That's all,
folks. Hello, Matt Elliott here. Be sure to watch Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube and follow all their social media platforms for all the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time.
Some people are on the pitch. They think it's all over. It is now.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mate's already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.